You see, is your name Jerry, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Jerry asked also about the second coming. The second coming, it's not really a principle. I just kind of threw that in because I figured it's an interesting subject. But the appearance of great teachers is on the principle, kind of the Christ principle is involved in the fact that he's motivated to come here because he has to assist others if he wants to progress himself. It doesn't matter where any being is, whether it be just a regular guy like old John over here or some great master, we all want to move ahead. And it's not so important where we are, but where we're going. If we're moving ahead, even if we're in the first grade, it's going to feel good if you move ahead. If you're a college graduate and you're going backwards and losing what you learned, then it won't feel good. The first grader is going to feel a lot better. So no matter where we are, it's important we continue our progress forward if we want to achieve satisfaction and joy in our life. And so the Christ himself has to consummate his mission and do everything in his power to pull people forward that he's in charge of. And so to consummate this, he promised us that he would come again. The thing is, he didn't exactly say how he would come again, so that's a great mystery. And I don't even know if he knows exactly how he's going to pull it off. Now, D.K. said an interesting thing about Christ that I never thought about when I was attended the regular religious service where everyone was teaching about Jesus is going to come any minute. His coming is so close, it boggled the mind if we knew how close it was. You know, that was like 40, 50 years ago they were saying that. But, 40, 50 years ago, everybody in the church thought for sure he'd be here by the year 2000. You know, and most of the churches thought that. But I remember, I started going to church, what year was it, around 1958, when I was about 13. I started going regularly. There was a little old lady lived down the road from us that thought the coming was going to happen in 1960. I mean, she was just telling everybody it was going to happen in 1960. Well, 1960 came and went and never happened. Then I remember reading different religious tracts going to happen in 1984, 1985, 1982, all kinds of predictions happening. And then, of course, as we approached the year 2000, a lot of people thought, well, that's the beginning of the 7,000 years, and God created the world in 6,000, rested on the seventh. Therefore, when the year 2000 comes, that's the beginning of the 7,000 years, so God's got to take a rest at that point. And so that must be when Jesus is going to come again. I've been waiting for you to come back, Brian, so we can give you a hand for all this food you brought. Thanks a lot. And Melba. I'm not sure which one was the head cheese on that, but we'll give them both a hand. So anyway, DK...
Brian, who did you see about the water?
There's one poor soul taking care of this entire thing. You go down on the hallway down there to the ice machine, do it yourself. Now, where it says employees only,
yeah.
He says go ahead and walk in the right thing. Good to let him know. So it's serve yourself. Poor guy. Sorry.
Oh, okay, no problem. So anyway, DK said something interesting in the LSA Bailey books about the coming of Christ that I found a fascinating thought that I thought, how come I didn't think of this? And what he said was, you know, what people have not considered is what's going through the mind of the Christ as he's anticipating a second coming and how he's going to accomplish it. And I thought, boy, you know, that hadn't occurred to me. You just think, well, he's all powerful. He's got it all set up. He's just going to come and do his stuff, and it's going to be no problem for him. But according to DK, it's entirely different than that. Is that he's under a tremendous pressure to do it right? Can you imagine being in the situation that the Christ is in, where you have to consummate a second coming of some kind and do it successfully. How are you going to go about doing that? It's entirely up to you how you're going to fulfill that. How are you going to do it so you can be successful with humanity as laggardly as they are and as non-interested as they are in true spirituality? How is that going to be accomplished?
Is there someone else who's done it? Can you go talk to them?
Not here on this planet. So, yeah, what he's has to do is totally different than anyone's ever done on the planet before. So, when will he come again? That's an interesting question. And here's some interesting scriptures around that. It tells us that about some of the signs that will happen and within a generation of these particular signs before all the people will pass away, that the Christ will come again. And the main sign is the scripture that talks about the stars shall fall from heaven. Okay, the scripture in Matthew 24, he was talking about the Jews, and it is talking about the time it said that there would be days of tribulation, which the world had not seen. And unless those days of tribulation are shortened, it says that all flesh be destroyed. And the sign that was going to be given was the powers of heaven would be shaken. And it says all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Finally remember that. So the powers of heaven will be shaken. All the tribes of the earth will mourn. And the stars will be removed. The stars in the heaven will be shaken. All the tribes of the earth will mourn. Well, that's interesting. The powers of heaven will be shaken. When did that occur? Has it occurred?
1945.
Okay. When we look at the Greek, it's interesting, the translation. First of all, why, if there's some great sign that Christ is coming again, why would all the tribes of the earth mourn? Wouldn't there be somebody be happy? Wouldn't there be one individual on the earth be happy that Christ is coming again? No, it says that when this great sign is given, that the powers of heaven will be shaken, it says all the peoples and tribes of the earth will mourn.
Maybe they meant that they would mourn because the heavens were shaken.
Right. Now, the word heaven comes from Uranus. And you know what word comes from Uranus?
Uranium.
Uranium. Okay? Okay, let's substitute that word, uranium. Okay? The time will come when it says that unless these days are cut short, it says there will be a tribulation like the world has never seen, and that would destroy the holy people, and the holy people are the Jews. And they had tribulation like they had never seen before under Hitler. And at the end of Hitler's reign, what happened? The powers of uranium were shaken. The atomic bomb went off for all the world to see. And how did everybody feel? It scared everybody. All the tribes, all the peoples of the earth mourned when they saw the atomic bomb going off. And the great part about the atomic bomb is the symbology is so profound. In the fact that the atomic bomb goes off by the splitting of the atom. In the splitting of the atom, it splits it in two, and matter is like a tomb that houses spirit. And when the matter is split in two, a certain portion of that matter turned into pure spiritual energy and is released. And that's what creates the power of the atomic bomb, is matter being transmuted into pure spirit. That produces the energy of the atomic bomb. That's a symbol of the Christ. The Christ was laid in the tomb of matter. After 3 days, the tomb split open and the eternal life from God escaped, just like happened with matter. And DK calls the atomic bomb an initiation for matter itself because it's a symbol of the tomb of Christ being broke open. It's interesting how literally you can read it when we read it this way. The powers of uranium were shaken, all the tribes of the earth mourn, and then it tells us that the people living in that day will not all pass away until Christ comes again.
Hurry up.
Okay. So that happened in 1945. Well, I was born in 1945, so I'm still here. So as long as I'm here, everybody hasn't passed away yet. So we've got a ways to go for everybody to pass away. Now,